my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I love my science mama.
I'm Julie Gould, and this is the Science Mamas podcast, where we'll be sharing tales and tips from the lives of mamas in science. Hey everyone, welcome back to Science Mamas. In this episode, I'm sharing Alexandra Olaya Castro's tale. Alexandra is a professor of physics at the University College London in the UK. And I know it's a little while ago, but I took the chance to speak with her about being a science mama back when we met in 2018. At the time, she had two children and her youngest was born in April 2015.
So not only I had my group, but also I had teaching responsibilities, which meant that I went back to work when the next term was going to start. With my first child, I did take some sabbatical term after I returned. And by sabbatical means I didn't have any academic responsibilities besides just my research. But this time I had my commitment to teach that course that I have been teaching. So I went back straight to teaching. So things were different with my son. I had already moved in the sense that I have achieved a promotion to reader by the time I got my second child.
Okay, so things were a bit more challenging with regards to coming back into work.
Yes, absolutely.
And what were some of the differences with regards to returning to work that you noticed between having your daughter and having your son?
With my daughter, I had more flexibility to work from home because I didn't have this teaching commitment, so that made a difference in the sense that I breastfed my two children, and being at home and working from home made easy breastfeeding. With my son, as soon as I had to go back, I had to do what all the mamas do when they are breastfeeding and is express yourself.
It's glamorous, isn't it?
I really dislike it. And my boy was even more difficult in that sense, because he wouldn't even receive sometimes the bottle.
Oh, gosh.
So it made a little bit more stressful with him, this of the breastfeeding.
So when it came to expressing whilst you were at the office, was there adequate support for you to do that? Or have you ever had one of those awkward scenarios where you couldn't find anywhere to go?
Sincerely, I didn't express at the office. So what I would do is I would go to work and I will wait until I arrive home. My breasts were about to explode. As soon as I would arrive home, I would sit down to express. But I didn't feel I had, even though I had an office at the time, I didn't feel that this is something I could do in the office.
Why?
Because I didn't have where to put the milk. So if I express it, I didn't have a little fridge where to put, and then I used to, then I would just spend just this time expressing here, and then instead of just getting done quickly the things that I need to do. So in my mind thinking, it was easier just to get the things done and then go back home as soon as possible, just to express with my tranquility. Whether that was healthy for me or not, maybe not, because with my two pregnancies, I had these very strong episodes of mastitis. Horrible mastitis.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, isn't
it?
Yeah, I had it too. Yeah, awful, awful. You probably didn't help yourself there.
No, I didn't.
Did you ever take your daughter, when you just had one child, with you on conferences and when you were breastfeeding? And did you have the facilities there to support that?
I did take my daughter. Actually, I took her to many conferences with me. Her and my mom or my partner or my dad. So whoever could help me. So I always travel with my daughter and someone else. And I did breastfeed, but I didn't have any special facility. I just breastfed wherever I was and I would just put a blanket over and just breastfeed normally. You know, I am from Latin America where you breastfeed. Well, breastfeeding is very natural. You breastfeed in any bus, you breastfeed anywhere. So for me, breastfeeding was just normal. So I would breastfeed wherever I was. So it didn't really matter to me.
Did anyone ever react in a way that you weren't expecting them to when you were breastfeeding your child?
Sincerely, I don't know. And I don't know, it's because I just wasn't paying attention to whether someone was looking or saying anything or making any particular face. I just I just had this ability of essentially I just focus on what I'm doing and I don't care if they are looking.
With regards to, you know, being a woman in a male-dominated field, did you ever, you know, not just when it came to breastfeeding, but just generally as a, you know, as a woman trying to make a success of her career in physics, did you ever have much comment or negative feedback or anything from your male colleagues, either advertently or inadvertently, consciously or not, about you having a family and trying to make a success of your career?
Of course, the field itself is a field that naturally has a dynamics in which you are normally the only woman in the room or the one of the few women in the room. And that already puts some pressure on you. But regarding specific comments of me with my family and trying to make most of the comments, mostly I have had questions.
Ooh, like what?
Questions. Like, for instance, so how do you do it?
And these are your male colleagues asking
both,
you?
Yeah. These okay. are male and female. So how did you do it? Lots of people ask me, so how did you achieve your promotion to reader having two kids?
I will ask you that question later.
Okay. Also, people tell me, so how did you do this? Well, one of the most difficult things that, and I think many parents will agree with me, is the sleep deprivation that you have. And that can really take a lot of toll of your energy and your concentration, your ability to write, produce, read, concentrate, do any science.
Not just science, life.
Life. Exactly. Just to do anything, just to do one more thing, more than two things. So lots of people, so how did you do it? Do they sleep well? And I will just go with my very honest answers. And it's no, they don't sleep very well. My son is a really bad sleeper. For over 4.5 years, I felt like sleep deprived, like completely, really very, very tired. It's been only the last year that he's sleeping better. And when people have asked me, so how did you manage to do all this? And the way I have managed to raise my family and still keep progressing step by step in my career is because I have a strong support network.
Okay. You're not the first science mama to say that that has been like the key
that
thing
is,
for you.
That is the key. I have a very strong support network. I would have never been able to go to all those conferences that I went after I had my first child if it wasn't because I have my parents coming to stay with my kids. Also because sometimes my partner was took a time off from work and then I could just focus a little bit more on work and then go. But there have been times in which, for instance, my partner was abroad for over 5 months last year.
Oh my goodness.
And I didn't have my dad or my mom coming over. Then I got a taste of what it is when you don't have that support. And it was very difficult to have not the usual support network that I normally had. So I got a taste. I know what it is to have it and I know what it is not to have it. And the difference is huge in everything. So that's, for me, the key.
Now, going back to one of those questions that you were frequently asked is, how did you make it work so that you could progress your career? What, you know, becoming, you know, taking on a lectureship, becoming a reader and having two kids. Would you really just put it down to having a strong support network or are there other things?
No, not just that. So having a strong support network gives you the tranquility to be able to tackle them work issues without having to worry about many of those family issues, at least for a little while. But you still have a limited amount of time at work. So the only way to make it is to optimize that time to do the things that are the most important and accept that you won't be able to do them all. So for instance, before I had children, I used to work really long hours, weekends, whatever was the time that I needed at any time to get done what I needed to get done. I used to go to all the possible talks and seminars that I was interested, even seminars that were not related to my area because I thought they will feed me and help me to. Now I cannot do that, even less after my second child. Even with that support network, I still have to say not too many of those seminars. So I have to accept that I cannot go to all those seminars, but then I focus on getting the most important things done, getting that paper that I need to submit because I know it's going to be the important paper that will lead me to the next grant, for instance. Work on this piece of idea because I know that if I do some preliminary work, then I will know better in which direction to take. I then have to decide, okay, so you have invitations to write papers for these proceedings, or to write a paper that will be peer review. So then you just have no option, but there is a finite amount of time. So, sorry, I cannot do this, but I can do this one. So you just have to learn that some things will have to give in, but you need to identify which ones are the most important ones and put your energy on those ones. This won't be forever, because there will be a time in which you just want to go. And then it won't be forever, but while it is, then just optimize your time to put your energy on the things that will be the most important and that will be key to move forward. And this is what I did.
One thing that I've come across with, not just with science mamas, but with mamas who work in general in any field, is that when they are trying to balance their family life with their career, and sometimes the two merge a little bit and they might have to work, or you know, one thing takes over and then the other one takes over, there's this underlying feeling of guilt. Oh. How, you know, have you had that? How do you deal with it?
I have had that often, very often. Let me give you an example. I was teaching last term and I forgot to say who will pick up my daughter. So essentially, I forgot about my daughter until I received a phone call saying, no one has picked up your daughter. Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. And it's because I was so focused on the things that I needed to do for that course that day that I completely blocked it from my mind, and I forgot about it. And the guilt that I felt as I was teaching, and then I had this on my mind, etc., it was horrible. But later on, I made a reflection and I said, okay, yeah, so I made that mistake, you know, that can happen, but it's bound to happen. It's bound to happen. And if I solve anything by feeling guilty, then I will feel guilty more often. But then I realized that I was doing nothing by feeling guilty. All I was doing was feeling it was a horrible cycle. Feeling guilty, feeling bad, then feeling that I was being inappropriate as a mom, etc. And I say, I have to break this cycle and accept and tolerate with myself that some of these things will happen. I just have to trust myself that the most important things, I will not forget them. And that I will, at times I will understand that I have to focus on work, but I have made sure that there is a network in which they are still fine by me focusing on work. They are still well cared after, either by my partner, my family, if they are not there, by people that I have trusted and I've given the confidence to take care of them while I am doing this. And then just make sure that I do this with a frequency that I'm comfortable with. As soon as I start feeling too guilty again, then I have to take a step back and then think, am I doing this too often? Or is this just more like this self-guilt that because we put lots of pressure on ourselves. I have felt that often, many, many times, even when I go to conferences, sometimes I feel, even when it was needed to go out and sleep, you know, like I could use the conference to sleep, to have a good night of sleep, I would feel guilty because my son is there and etc. And I would just say, no, sleep and don't feel guilty. This is important that you do this, even for them as well. So,
just a good night's sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to just talk to myself about it often. Accept that I have those feelings, but make sure that they don't take over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you have found some time to find some good night's sleep these last few years.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about your daughter in particular. So she's five, just coming up to
five and a half.
Six. Yeah, so coming up to six soon. So she, I guess, is probably quite aware of what you are doing. You know, she is aware that you work. She's aware that you go away for work. How has she reacted to that? And has she taken to it well? Or is this...
This is a very interesting question. Because since I traveled with my daughter to so many places since she was little, I believe that she understood that concept because she was used to that. I would take her to me only until she started school. It was now more difficult to do this of taking her with me to conferences. But last year, I did a trip to Japan. And I needed, at that time, my partner was also away. He was in Abu Dhabi. but I really needed to do this trip to Japan for professional and personal reasons. I really needed to do it. So I arranged care with all the guilt and everything. I arranged care that I knew that they will be fine and that she would be fine. I spoke to her every single day as I was away, etc. But when I came back, she asked me, is this the last time that you're going to leave?
Oh.
Because you are not going to go anymore, isn't it? You're not going to go anymore, right, Mom? Mommy, she doesn't tell me Mom. So I realized that then she was being very aware. She was just being very, she's a very, I don't know if saying rational, but she thinks she's very analytical. So she told me this very tranquil, no crying, no making any sense or anything. She wanted a reaffirmation that I wasn't going to abandon her again. So the summary is, even though I didn't realize fully, she did feel slightly abandoned, but she knew I will come back. And she just asked me, you are not going to go again like that. Of course, it was a special situation because my husband wasn't also there. It wasn't very long. It was just a few days. But for a kid, a few days could mean a year. So a few, they don't really have the sense of time that we do.
So has her response or has her question to you changed your attitude to going away for your research?
Yeah, well, it has. It, definitely. This one was a special occasion in which I really needed to do this, wanted to do this. It was very important for me. And on the long term, it will be for her as well. But I don't know if I would do this again of going. And one of us will have to stay there. So
it's just making the timings work between you and your husband.
Yeah. One of us or I will bring them with me. I will do something and bring them along with me.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So final question then. For any of our audience, or for any of our listeners who are thinking of having children, who might be a minority in the field that they work in, what advice do you have for them when it comes to having a family and having a career in science?
The first thing is, as you said, that many mamas said, and is surround yourself with a support network. Whether it is your family, so many people might not have their family in the places. So surround yourself with a network, friends, a good nursery, a good childcare, a good nanny, a good friend, mom of other child from the school, any network, even just one person network will make a difference. So make sure that you can surround yourself at least with one good person that will help you. That will be so valuable. The second thing is that sometimes you will need to accept that you have to put a lot of focus on your work. And sometimes you will have to accept that you will need to put the whole focus on your family. And now the change, so and then the frequency that you do that, it will depend. You will need to decide which one is the right frequency for you. And this goes to my third one. I think multitasking is a total fallacy. Trying to do many things at the same time. And, you know, women sometimes pray, oh, I can multitask. I can do this. I can have in my mind my phone, can, check the play dates that my kids have, check the nursery time, and at the same time write my paper. That doesn't work, sincerely. You can try to do it, but it's unsustainable. You will feel overworked. You will feel overloaded. You will feel too tired. And at the end, you will just feel that you are being inadequate in all the fronts.
And that's no good for anyone.
Exactly.
No.
And the final is, I know this will sound difficult because with work and kids and house, etc. But take a time to exercise.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it.
I'm sorry, but without it, my mind wouldn't work. So I always recommend any kind of exercise and just a small length of the day. Make sure you take that time because that will keep you going.
All right. Well, thank you very much for saying yes to doing this podcast,
thank
Alexandra.
You.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I hope it's useful.
Thank you so much to all of you who are listening to the show. I really hope that the insights that we get from the Science Mamas are of use to you. If they are and you are enjoying the show, then please do leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Now, someone who really enjoyed the show and who was also a guest on the show, Bethany Kolbauer-Kirchner, deserves another extra little thanks because she has come on board to help me run the show by writing all the lovely words that you see on the website. So thank you very much, Bethany, for joining the team. And that's it for now. But I will be back soon to share the tales and tips from the lives of mamas in science.
I love my science mama.
I love my science mama.